And it is America's Heroes Group. We are pleased to be with you today, of course. A wonderful day. It is Saturday, August 13th, 4:33 p.m. Our call-in number is 312-374-8130. We want to talk a little bit about the Veteran Affairs Secretary, Robert Wilkie. We've got a quick Fox News clip. Listen up.
The head of the government's Veterans Affairs Department says his agency is making rapid progress and major improvements in taking care of America's heroes. Brett Baer goes in depth tonight with Veteran Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie.
Secretary, thanks for the time.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you for having me.
It has been essentially 1 year
right.
since you were confirmed as VA Secretary. What has happened in that time for people who are desperate to find out, are we fixing the Veteran Affairs situation?
Well, since that time, and I could say yes, I was privileged to present the largest budget in the history of the department earlier this year, $220 billion. We have successfully kicked off the largest transformative program in the history of VA, at least going back to the GI Bill 75 years ago. The Journal of the American Medical Association says our wait times are now as good or better than in the private sector, and the Annals of Internal Medicine say our care is as good or better than it is in the private sector across the country. What that means is that morale is up, that VA is in a better place than it has been in the last few years. We don't put the prerogatives of the institution at the center of our customers' lives. We put the health of the veteran at the center of all the decisions that that veteran makes, and that's a sea change.
One of the things that the president pushed for and changed was the ability to fire people who
yes.
were not meeting up to expectations.
Right.
You've fired or got rid of quite a few.
Yes.
And has that changed the dynamic?
I think it has. It also helps morale because people know that those who do not do a good job will be held accountable. They know that if an employee is bad and causing disruption, we can move to remove that.
And we're talking employee. Hundreds of people here.
Yes. But everyone from the director of a medical center down to the custodial staff, my argument is that if someone fails to sweep the floor at the Department of Labor, you have a dirty floor. If someone fails to do that at one of our hospitals, the potential is there for catastrophe because we are dealing with people's lives.
There was a whole battle whether the public-private aspect of the VA, whether veterans should be able to have a private option.
What do you think about that? Who wants to respond to what?
I'd like to respond. Only because my brother called me the Monday before Mueller testified, then Wednesday, and to tell me that he was testifying before Congress, before the Veterans Committee.
Yeah.
Because he's in charge of community care for the nation, for the 160 veterans hospitals and all the outlying services in the private care that the CHOICE program.
Sure.
He's in charge of the CHOICE program. So he was. I watched him on C-SPAN, and they had a panel. Congressman Underwood is on that panel, who's from Naperville, and so it was about the wait time and how the wait time has improved and so forth. So they're doing a lot of innovative things and doing a lot better in treating veterans right now. So what the secretary said is true to a great extent. They're making a lot of quantum leaps in their treatment.
Yeah, I think.
Well, then,
and I have Leo. I have my brother come on one day and tell you a little bit.
That'll
more about
be great.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I heard
him
say that you know that the VA is much better than these other entities. So if they're much better, then why are they pushing us out to the private places? If he's saying that we're much better than them,
well,
I thought that's what I heard his stats say.
Well, some of it, you know, you get people in Montana and in some of these rural areas where they can't get to a VA hospital.
Right.
So they have to go to a hospital. They might have a hospital across the street.
Yeah.
Sure, I
and
get
so
that part.
And so now you can go to that hospital and VA will pay for that doctor that's across the street instead of you traveling 200 miles.
I'm aware of all of that.
So
but again,
things,
he said the stats that he quoted are better than the private sector. That's what he said. So if the Mission Act is pushing us out to the private sector, why?
Well,
if they're not better than the VA, why would we want to go?
I think that some of that is political. I think some of that is the president's agenda and some of the private enterprise that they want to get involved. The VA can't handle everything and every little specialty you need.
Sure.
But
I get that. I've been using the VA also, so I'm aware of that. But the other piece of that is, I mean, why are we making those decisions now when, you know, they're doing so much better?
Let's let John.
I think a big part of that, too, is choice. I mean, they're letting the veterans, to a certain extent, have a choice. Mm-hmm. They can go to, you know, so, if you live in Indiana, you can go to Jesse Brown. You could go to Hines. But if it's too far, then you have a choice, and you can go outside the system, which I think is a real benefit. You know, in what the Secretary is saying, I agree completely. The care I get at the VA is second to none. It's absolutely wonderful. Nice. The problem still exists on getting into the system. Mm-hmm. And that's I don't see much change in, and I think that's where some attention should really be led. We're talking about people who come up and they say, "Hey, I am suffering from a service, you know, connected disability," and they have to go through this long process, sometimes being denied over and over again for reasons that they don't understand, we don't understand, before they finally get into the system. Once they're in the system, I think that it's fabulous. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Yeah, but sure. I really think there's more work that has to be done on the beginning stage where these guys come up with problems, and women too. Now we have 12%, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. of the women in there, and they're coming up with problems that, you know, these people don't even understand.
Right.
And
yeah.
yet they're turning them away.
Well, Cliff, let me ask you this. Have you heard any medical entities, you know, coming forward and saying we're looking forward to treating the veterans now that they have the ability to come to us, you know, to get service, and they're going to be comprehensive, and they're going to be all of this and that? I haven't heard anybody from the medical sector step forward to say anything about this Mission Act, and we're pushing them to that Mission Act. So that's missing from the whole equation.
But one of the things that's happening is that they're opening up portals so that a clinic now has all the information. Say the vet has been going to the VA all the time. Now they've developed all these this high-tech software that allows this interaction, interchange of information between, say, a veteran chooses to go outside of the system. So they now seamlessly can gather all the information from the VA, and they go back and forth.
I get all that. You're missing my
point. So yeah.
I agree with you in your concern, because the one thing that does is problematic in my thinking is I deal with both both the VA doctors, and I also have outside doctors.
Same with me.
Right. The outside doctors, when I say, hey, this could be attributable to Agent Orange, they just get glassy-eyed.
Right.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Haven't been trained.
Right. Well, of course. They don't teach that in medical school. Mm-hmm. That's something that's unique to the veteran experience. And you have that with a variety of things, not just the Agent Orange, even that are coming through. So that could be a problem down the road for veterans. And I certainly want to make sure that our regular VA hospitals and clinics are supported, staffed, and always there for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. You touched on one thing that's talked about in some other shows is the fact there's one thing I think the VA is looking at and the government's looking at. When you look at the statistics, there is 20 million veterans out there that need health care. That population is aging, and it's also shrinking. So you have all these VA facilities that are across the country, and a shrinking population that's going to be serviced by those facilities. Mm-hmm. So how is that going to be paid for and funded? So they're trying to now hedge that by trying to get the private sector involved and integrate these people into the civilian hospitals, because eventually they're going to have to downsize the VA system at some point.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. We have another clip we want from ABC News, a clip about investigation: veterans own millions in refunds on VA home loans. Listen up.
Veteran has only applied for a disability rating, and the claim is still pending when they get a VA loan. They have to pay the funding fee. That can add up to several thousand dollars. But if their disability claim is approved later, they're due a refund of that funding fee. But our investigation discovered veterans haven't always been getting those refunds. A whistleblower provided internal VA records that revealed a bombshell. Between 2006 and 2014, VA inappropriately collected about $150 million on more than 40,000 loans. Top VA officials in D.C. were warned, but for the last 5 years, never notified the veterans owed money.
If you're holding someone else's money and you're not telling them how to get it, you're doing it on purpose.
The VA Inspector General, OIG, calls that discovery troubling, and disturbingly, the overcharges continued. The agency watchdog now estimates at least 72,000 veterans are owed more than $286 million. But unless you asked for it, they didn't give it to you.
That's crazy.
The VA now says it plans to have corrective actions in place by July 31st, meaning veterans will finally be getting the money they're owed.
That's good news.
413 News Now, I'm Evan Watson.
All right. Thank you so much. John, I'm sure you're up on this.
Yeah, there's what they're talking about is an origination fee that is charged to veterans who want to take out a VA loan. Mm-hmm. And if you are a disabled veteran, that's waived. And it's a significant amount of money. Mm-hmm. And it can make the difference on whether or not you can buy a house and really afford to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And if you do get if you're not a disabled veteran or you don't have a compensation rating as a disabled veteran prior to originating the loan, and you get one later on, you are refunded. That's what's supposed to happen. Now, I'm not sure why this didn't happen. I don't know if you have to apply for it or something like that, but if you're out there and you're a veteran and you happen to find yourself in this position, get on the phone.
Right.
And it's actually a loan origination fee. Yeah. A loan origination fee.
That's right.
A
loan percentage. Yeah. And almost every mortgage company understands this, too. But if you're not rated at the time, you have to pay. There's no doubt about it.
Right. And the thing about when you're doing home loans, as experienced as a banker, I haven't done loans in the past myself, and as a financial advisor, one thing a lot of people do when they refinance or if they're buying a new home, they don't look at all the fees and things that are on that checklist, and they have to go back and look at them and see what they're entitled to. You have to ask for your veterans' benefits. There is a website you can go to on the VA website, I'm going to talk to Manny and see if we can post it on our website so people can get a link to it. But you can go and actually apply for that refund. There's really no timeline. There's no deadline for it. Even if you missed it, you can apply for it. And the numbers that they talked about on the recording. It's a little bit different from what I found in the research. It's actually about 53,000 disabled vets and about $189 million out there that's outstanding as of right now. Mm-hmm. So you can go out there, and it's like I said, it is a substantial amount of money. About 0.5% to 3.3% of the loan can be refunded to you. That's about an average of $5,000 to $19,000, depending on the size of your home. I mean, you're talking about $5,000 to $20,000.
But what do you have to do to qualify? Mm-hmm. John, when you said disabled, is there like property taxes in Cook County? If you're 70% disabled, you don't have to pay. You're exempt from property taxes. But you have to be at least 70%. Do you have to be a certain percentage?
No.
You can be 10% disabled.
Yes.
and still.
And also, okay. Just to clarify, in Cook County, if you are below 70%, you can still get a discount on your property taxes.
Still get a discount.
It starts at lower. I'm not sure. Okay. You know what? I know that
70% you're exempt, though. Mm-hmm. Totally.
70% you're totally exempt. Yeah. But you know, at 50%, you get a sliding scale or something. Yeah. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you go to www.benefits.va.gov/homeloans/purchase, and it's purchase CO, one word, _loan_fee.asp, that's where you can actually apply for the refund. So like I said, vets out there that refinance, have a loan out there, look it up on either Google VA refund, apply application, or just go to that link and we'll see if we can get it on our website. Yeah. And then just apply for that benefit.
And look on your RUSPA, look on your closing documents and see if you were charged,
Something else, too, that, John, I'm sure you, because of your experience, Disabled Veterans Organization is suing the VA secretary over delaying blue water claims. You know about that?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really going to go anywhere because the delay is only going to be 4 months. It starts January 1st, 2020, the delay.
First, pardon me, Jay. Tell us many people have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, when we're talking about the Blue Water Navy, we're talking about the men and women that served aboard ship offshore of Vietnam. And they have been exempted, or excluded, I should say, mm-hmm. from entering the Agent Orange Registry. And that means that they could not apply for benefit or for compensation, I should say, in health care based upon diseases that they may have contracted as a result of exposure to the various chemical agents that were dispersed over Vietnam. So this fight has been going on a long, long time. And my heart goes out to every Navy vet who's out there because of this, and it's a long time. I know it's frustrating because I've been there and fighting with them for a long time. So the courts initially, appellate court sided with the veterans and ordered that they would be or could be entered into the Agent Orange Registry. Mm-hmm. The director of the VA went to the president. President Trump signed off on June 25th and said that, okay, they're going to be part of the Agent Orange Registry, and they can get compensated, and they can also get medical treatment for problems that they may have incurred as a result of exposure to these defoilant agents. The secretary of the VA approached the president and asked for a stay, and the reason for this is because they're estimating there's going to be 50,000 to 90,000 people eligible to take part in this from the Navy, and they thought they could be overwhelmed, and they needed the funding, they needed the resources, they need everything in place for it. So they issued a stay until January 1st of 2020, and obviously a lot of people are frustrated by that. And also, let's be real frank, some people are going to die between now and then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Right. And we see that happening all the time in a number of issues. Yeah. So on the one hand, I'm all for it. No, let's get this going. Let's get to speed it up as much as we can. On the other hand, I kind of understand where the secretary is saying we don't want to impact what we have now with all the other veterans we're treating with a giant influx of people that come in. But so what I would counsel to any Navy vet right now is you're going to have documentation. We've been down this road. So the first thing to do is check in with one of your veteran service groups and start the process now, because you're going to have to document that you were on that ship, that the ship was within 12 miles of the coast of Vietnam or docked in Vietnam during the periods. I think it's 1965 to 75 is what they've decided that it's going to be. So this is going to take some time on your part. Do it now. Get all that ready so that January 1st, first thing, boom, you are submitting your paperwork and you're on your way. And
let me just say this, because I have a potential client, a lady contacted me. Her husband was on one of the ships, and they've been fighting the Blue Water matter for years, and he died. And so now I was telling her it's going to be very difficult to prove your case, because now he's deceased. To prove that he died of exposure to Agent Orange is going to be extremely difficult. So you said,
It'll be handled the same way like they did with the Agent Orange. You know, it will be the documentation from the medical people who actually determine his death. So that will eventually go on the register, and I don't think they've gotten to that part yet, right?
Well, I mean, trying to prove that he died as a result of Agent Orange, it was approximate cause, there's some problems there. There's some
problems. Well, that's what we're saying,
though. Yeah.
Let's take a caller. Sal, hi. You're on WVON 1690.
Thank you very much.
Fine. Thanks for calling, Sal.
As to why the dental industry hasn't participated with the Mission Act, I'd like to get their perspective as to why they feel it's not being done. I have been told that it's because the VA's scale of pay isn't sufficient to lure any of the private dentists who say they want to participate in something like this. I just encountered that issue with a serious situation that I'm going through right now. And I would like to know why. What type of an effort is being made to encourage them to be involved in it? I know that the DAV has taken a special interest and trying to make that happen. But what are your perspectives?
Who would like to respond? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you're right. The DAV has taken a special interest in this. You know, dental health is a key element in your entire physical health. You know, I mean, I think I was reading somewhere where King Tut, the mummy of King Tut, they put it under examination, found out he died of an abscess tooth, you know, and you can do that. It could still happen today. And you get a serious infection, it goes to your heart or it goes to your brain, you know. So we've been fighting and pushing for dental health care for disabled veterans for a long time, and that fight's not over. Right now, dental health care is provided to a disabled veteran who is rated 100% disabled. And we think that that just doesn't make sense. We think that if you're going to take care of the veteran and you're going to take care of the veteran's health, you can't overlook a key element like that. And we're going to keep up the fight.
You don't even get a discount if you're 80%. It's not as if you get nothing. It's like 100 or zero. You get nothing.
Yeah, right. There are a couple of outside firms that have stepped up. Aspen Dental, for example, has offered some free dental service to veterans, and I applaud them. I think it's absolutely fabulous. But I think the VA should step up and do what's they're supposed to be doing.
And that's what real comprehensive care is. That's what it's called, comprehensive. That means inclusive of all of those treatments, which includes the dental.
Yeah, important.
Right, and it's sad because, like I said, you mentioned the Aspen Dental. They run those ads every so often, but they fill up so quickly. If you see an ad in a newspaper for an Aspen Dental for a veteran, so they'll treat your teeth or whatever, in about 2 or 3 days, it's already filled up.
Sure. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've had dentists on the air here, and as you said, an infection, King Tut, what dies at the age of 13 because of an abscess, you know, and you get so many other ailments as a result of it could be a prophylactic type of treatment, treating your teeth.
And the National Women Veterans United, we are working on that part of it. We're doing that in a very small pool, providing dental care, helping veterans to get their smile back. Mm-hmm. It's important.
And like we mentioned earlier about the blue water. I mean, I'm thinking about the veterans that are in service right now that haven't gotten to that point yet. 20 years from now, when we start treating the veterans for the future, are we going to have the same conversation again about, you know, it's not going to be Agent Orange, but we're going to have some kind of other conversation about another disease that comes up or whatever that they're not getting treated for, and we got to fight for this. We need to get this stuff taken care of right now and get this out the way so people don't have to go through this over and over again after every generation over and over again.
That's right.
Absolutely. I agree with that. One of the things that I'm still very upset with is that in November of last year, the VA submitted to the White House their findings on a connection between bladder cancer and hypertension and exposure to Agent Orange. Yeah. And they increased that. Mm-hmm. And it's been sitting in the White House since then. Nothing has happened. It's just sitting there. And we have a president in there who said he was going to really help the vets. So walk down the aisle and find that paper and sign off.
But you know, Sean, you bring that up. But I mean, you think about going back to the atomic bomb and exposure to radiation, and even going into Japan later and all that. I mean, think of all the exposure they had to radioactivity. Then you got Agent Orange. Then you look at something like 9/11, where they got these people down here cleaning up, and they know this all this toxic asbestos and everything
else. And the fight you had to go through just to get that bill
signed. And it's the water, the same thing with the Camp Lejeune and the water, and now Fort McClellan.
Lead, everything else,
I tell you,
and now they want to get rid of the EPA. I mean, you got people in the EPA who.
One thing I know for sure.
Yeah.
That I said earlier, my super producer said that I said it's August 13th, and I know that's not true.
What?
I said it was August 13th.
Oh, you said it was August 13th.
No, you missed it. She didn't.
Yeah.
It's August 3rd.
I didn't miss it. I didn't say a word.
I would have missed my birthday. My birthday's August 7th. I would have missed it. August 7th is my birthday.
Oh, okay.
I would have missed it if it was
that.
The 13th.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, you've been great. Rochelle, you want to give us a quick, we got 30 seconds each.
Okay. Well, yeah, all I have to do is say something about National Women Veterans United. You know, we're really moving on up. Wait till next show next week. Is it next week? Next week.
Right.
5:30 to 6 o'clock. Tune in so you can hear more about all of our changes that are going on, our move and all of that. We're really excited about it.
Very good. Sean?
I always make sure everybody connects with us on social media. So go to our website, americashg.org. Make sure you check us out and leave comments of the shows you've seen in the past and the shows we're doing today. Leave a comment about what you've heard, anything you want us to address. Make sure we know about it so we can help you out and get you the information you need.
Great. Counselor?
No, I don't have anything new happening. Okay. Yeah, just waiting on my birthday.
Okay.
72.
August 7th.
Happy to be here.
And, of course, John Fanning.
Yeah, I would just say that the Disabled American Veterans has one mission, and that mission is to assist disabled veterans in getting the medical care and the compensation that they have earned and they deserve. So if you are out there, it's absolutely free. Everything that we do is free. We're with Chapter 84. We're located in Loak Lawn. We meet the first Friday of every month, but the DAV and other service organizations have joint offices at near Jesse Brown Hospital. You can go in there any day, and they'll help you fill out claims, and they will fight for you. So do it.
Thanks to all four of you.